We're continuing our conversation about ways students and educators have adapted since COVID-19 hit last year, and we're talking about their visions for post-pandemic learning. Last week, we heard from Jer View. He's a guidance counselor at Roseville Area High School in Roseville, Minnesota. And today, we're going to Paul Quinn College. It's a historically black college in Dallas, Texas, where students are still working through virtual learning. Joining us on Skype is the school's president, Michael Sorrell. Welcome to Here and Now.
Great to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
We're glad to have you. And I have to say, one of the things that sticks with me from the conversation that we had with the guidance counselor last week is his conclusion that a one-size-fits-all approach to instruction just doesn't make sense. And we talked about how some students have thrived in online classes while others have struggled, which underscores this reality that there are different learning styles. So I'm wondering what you think about that.
Well, there are absolutely different learning styles. And what is important for everyone here to understand is the differences in those learning styles doesn't make one better than the other. And once you accept that from an instructional standpoint, then the onus moves to you as an instructor to meet the students where they are.
And I know your instructors have had to do that a lot over the past year. Like many colleges, when the pandemic first hit, you sent your students home. Everyone was learning virtually. Bring us up to date. How are things now?
Things have worked well. I mean, one of the advantages that we had as an institution is that we were always on a hybrid model. We're an urban work college, so our students spent 15, 16 hours per week working in corporate internships and then also having to go to class. So the only way to really do that is to give the students the opportunity to take part of their classes in person and part of it hybrid. So the adjustment in teaching the students has worked out really, really well. And when the students get back, they will come back to a school where there are three new buildings, there are new academic programs. It'll just be a completely different experience because we made the best use of this time that we could.
You know, some homeowners have spent this time, you know, renovating and improving their houses. It sounds like you did the same on your campus during this period. But I want to come back to the work component that you mentioned, which I know is integral to your programming, and that some 85% of your students are eligible for Pell Grants, which means that many of your students are also trying to find jobs while they're attending school. That must have been somewhat harder, though, with so many businesses closed down during the pandemic. How is the work component of your education going?
Sure. No, that has been a challenge. We anticipated that that would be the case. And so we shifted as many students as possible into an additional training program that gives the students an opportunity to pick up experience in the computer programs that the students are going to need and in working on their emotional intelligence. But there really is no substitute for an internship. So we've done the best that we could do with that, but it's still a challenge.
I know that this urban work college program is one of the hallmarks of Paul Quinn College, and it has really helped some of your students take on the student debt problem, which is so big for so many students, and I understand it's actually reduced a student debt load from $40,000 to $15,000, and you're trying to drive that down even farther to $10,000. And if we look at the broader education landscape, in many cases, it's students of color who are taking on a lot of this debt. How do we recognize the urgency of this moment at a time when we have some federal lawmakers pushing for student loan forgiveness?
I look at it from the standpoint that when you're dealing with students from under-resourced communities, being the best caretaker of that trust that you can be means that you don't take advantage of them. We look at our students, and 85% of them are on Pell Grants. That means there's long-term underemployment and long-term unemployment. And because of that, you have to ask yourself, okay, if that's the case, who else in that home is watching cousins, brothers, sisters, and everyone is looking at the person who's able to make it, and they're saying, well, is this going to be worth it? And in order for it to be worth it, you've got to take a look at the whole picture. And a part of that is not leaving people with unmanageable debt and then routing them into careers where they'll never pay for it. We have a belief at Paul Quinn that you have to look at the eradication of poverty in an intergenerational fashion, right? And I tell a very personal story. My dad didn't go to college, right? He grew up in a single-parent home in New Orleans, Louisiana. So my mother went to college. She went to graduate school. Her mother went to college. Her mother went to graduate school. But when my parents got married, you know, they invested heavily in a business. It turned out to be incredibly successful. But because my father came home smelling like ribs every night, I never have come home smelling like ribs. In one generation, his sacrifice took us from a family where on his side, a dad who didn't go to college to a son who's a college president. And we have to have a realistic conversation with our students about what it is that they can afford to do in the short term.
Do you think then that this is a moment for admissions offices to consider reforming the college application process? Because even before the pandemic, many colleges were rethinking the value of things like standardized tests, the ACT, the SAT. Has the pandemic intensified those conversations in your view?
I mean, I think so. But let's be honest. I think who this will serve to harm are those students coming from places that need a little extra time but have a gift. And that gift has manifested itself in a high test score. Now, I think you see a lot of schools right now who are saying, we're going to make it test optional. I don't see that being long term. I do think, however, there must be options. What I care most about is that talented students have an opportunity to develop in places that are going to invest deeply in them.
You know, I take your point on the standardized tests. I used to teach the SAT for the Princeton Review, and to your point, it can be an opportunity for a student from a high school that maybe has a poor academic profile to score highly on that test and impress an admissions officer who might have otherwise not given them a closer look. The last thing I'm curious about, President Sorrell, is just a broader reflection. I mean, you've been at the head of Paul Quinn College for almost 15 years. I mean, what have you seen in that time shift on the higher ed landscape? And how are you thinking about your students' future?
Oh, so much has shifted. You know, people don't know this, but the whole concept of wraparound services started in historically black colleges and universities. Those schools were tasked with educating an entire race of people who had nothing. The only way forward were for these institutions to be everything to their students, hence wraparound services. I think that the conversation around debt has, in many ways, is operating as a disservice to some students because the pendulum has swung so far now that, you know, look, people should not be in soul-crushing amounts of debt. But you do need to understand the idea that this is an investment in you. And many students come to us now and they say, well, I don't want to take out any loans. Well, that's just not going to be possible. Maybe you need to take out $10,000 of loans to have a college education. That's
I be correct to assume that to work your way through Oberlin, Duke, and Penn that you had to take on some student loans yourself that paid off down the line?
Law school is where I picked up my debt. And you know what? That investment has paid off handsomely. I cannot complain.
Michael Sorrell is the president of Paul Quinn College, a historically black college in Dallas, Texas. He joined us to talk about reimagining the college experience post-COVID and helping his students find jobs after graduation. President Sorrell, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
You as well. You take care.